Hello, and welcome to the Public Sector View Radio, where we discuss trends impacting the adoption of video collaboration solutions across government, education, and healthcare. I'm Ryan Traden, the executive editor of the Public Sector View online publication, and I'm here today for a very special episode of the Public Sector View Radio. Joining me for today's program is Josh Stumpethorst, the author of the blog Stump the Teacher, as well as an award-winning teacher and author who is coming to us live from the show floor of the 2015 International Society for Technology and Education Conference in Philadelphia. Josh is here today to discuss his new book, The New Teaching Revolution, his closing keynote at ISTE, and the role that technology can play in the changing education landscape. Josh, thanks for joining me today.
Ryan, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Hey, the pleasure's all mine. So can you tell our listeners a little bit more about your book, The New Teaching Revolution, and how technology and distance learning have contributed to your changing teaching methodology?
Yeah, for sure. The New Teacher Revolution was something, a project I started probably about 2 years ago, and it was basically a combination of, at that point, 10 years of my teaching career and the changes I went through and some of the key areas that I thought as educators, as teachers, we needed to shift our thinking. And being a history teacher, anytime you want upheaval and change, you attach it to a revolution. So that's where the title came from. And it really looks at some of the key things that I think not just new teachers struggle with, but teachers who want to look at what they're doing in a new way and really refresh what they're doing and look at how they're interacting with kids, how they're assigning homework, how they're teaching, and all of those things. And a big thread throughout the entire book is certainly the role that technology plays in this revolution. The amount of technology that kids have access to today is unprecedented. They're doing things that, you know, in our generation in school 20, 30 years ago, we never even thought possible. Oregon Trail is no longer the pinnacle of ed tech gaming. And so technology has a huge impact in what I've done because it has allowed me to connect my kids. It has allowed me to allow them to create things that I never thought was possible. So the book really is about changing the way we think about teaching and more specifically about learning, but it really weaves throughout there is the role that technology plays in that transition.
Well, it's unfortunate that there may be a whole generation of kids that won't know the pleasure of dying of dysentery, but it is good that we've advanced past the Oregon Trail.
Exactly. I wish they could all experience that joy.
Yeah. So, you know, in previous interviews, you've said that, and I'm quoting here, the days of tying a letter to a helium balloon and sending it off are gone. What do you mean by that statement? And what roles have technologies played in the evolution of education from when we were in school to today?
Yeah, I did make that comment. And the intent of that comment and what I meant by that was, and I think several of us probably remember doing a project like that, the little pen pals, and we you know, floated the balloons up hoping they would go off and land in Kansas and we'd have a pen pal for life. And those just, it's not practical anymore. And frankly, all of our schools are latex free, so we probably couldn't even do that. But we have such an abundance of resources to allow kids to connect in way more authentic and efficient ways. And so kids can now connect using technology, using, you know, video conferencing, using email, using social media. And I think that's so critically important for our kids because there's so much going on in the world around us. Current events are perfect examples of this. And, you know, and it allows you to connect with individuals around the world and have conversations that are very much authentic. To use a real quick example, I was very fortunate enough to connect with a reporter who was on site in Egypt during the revolutions that were happening over there with the protests and the riots and all those things that were happening. And we were able to connect with an individual who was on the ground there. Coincidentally, we were studying ancient Egypt at the time. And so we were interacting and he was talking to us about how, you know, they're trying to protect these sacred ancient sites. And that's not something that we could do when we were in school. The ability to connect instantly around the world using technology, I think, gives our students a perspective and insights in ways that just flat out were not possible just a generation ago.
That's exciting. So, in addition to the person in Egypt, are there any other kind of memorable connections that you've made for yourself and your students?
Yeah, we've made a lot of them. It's tough to think of just one. I know that there's been a couple times where we have worked, and I'm a big fan of helping the next generation of teachers coming up. And so I have a friend who's a college professor up in Canada, and we often have mentored his students, and his students will video chat with my students and be a part of. I had some boys that were super, super advanced in social studies. They could have probably taught the class for me. And so I had a special project where they, on a regular, probably twice a week basis, video chatted and had to create their own learning experiences and interact with this college student up in Canada. I can't remember the exact university right now. So that was a pretty good one. And then another one we did this year is really working on the whole having kids be creators. And when I was studying ancient Rome, I created these little challenges. There were paper challenges, which is coming out of this maker movement, where you give kids just really basic objects and they have to create something. So cardboard and create, a design for something. And so we did this thing called the paper challenge. And the kids were given 20 sheets of paper and they had to design and engineer a tower and see how high of a tower they could make using nothing but these sheets of paper. They could fold it, they could rip it, but they couldn't use anything else. No glue, no tape. And so we connected with a couple other classrooms and had a Google Doc going where all these classes were posting their best towers. And then in one occasion, we actually had a live video hangout with this one class in Virginia where the kids were talking back and forth via the Google Hangout, looking at each other's towers and comparing and talking. And it was just a really neat experience to see kids interact with kids outside of their little bubble, outside of their small community. And in the world that we live in, I feel there's so much value in exposing kids to different perspectives, different cultures, different ways of thinking. To really create a well-rounded human being, which is really, I think, our ultimate goal, or should be our ultimate goal of schools.
So the upcoming conference, or the conference is going on right now, actually, the International Society for Technology and Education, or ISTE, you're actually going to be giving the closing keynote for that entire conference. Is there a single takeaway or tip that you feel educators that attend your keynote are going to leave and take away with them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope so. There's going to be several thousand teachers there, or are here, but coming to the keynote. And, the conference is just, a fire hose of content. This is my fifth conference I've attended at this level, and they are very overwhelming with the amount of content being thrown at you, the amount of new tools and apps and devices and all this kind of stuff. And so the one thing that I really want to focus on is the students and the learners. And I hope that everybody walks away with understanding that it's okay not to try everything. It's okay not to do everything, but it's not okay not to work to change. It's not okay to be stagnant. And so what I hope they walk away from is that notion of, all right, I can keep moving forward, and I can keep moving forward and improving my practice at a good pace. That might be different than somebody else. And that's really my goal, is to this whole notion of a journey. And I want people walking away understanding that we're all on this journey together. We're all in different places. And we all have an obligation to learn from those ahead of us and also an obligation to help those behind us. And so I hope that everybody walks away recognizing that we're all in this space. We're all trying to get better. And it's okay no matter where you are, as long as you're constantly moving forward. And it's okay that you're not using everything because you can only do so much at once, and you got to take it in increments. So I just hope everybody walks away knowing that we're all in this together, and we're all on the same journey to improving learning for every kid, and we're in it together.
So we actually have a little bit more time on the program, so I'd like to ask you one more thing. So obviously, education's changed significantly from, when I was in school. We were still using chalkboards, and the cell phones were banned in classes. I let alone any mobile devices or any video teleconferencing solutions. They didn't even really exist yet. And today, all of those things are being used in the classroom to improve education, to connect people, as you were talking about, and bring in these different cultural experiences. My question is, what's next? So if all of those things are being adopted now, and in some cases maybe a little bit more rapidly than others in some schools, but you know, where will the schools that have embraced those things be 10 years from now? Where do you see the trends continuing and going to?
Well, that's a good question. Holographic teachers, you know. the funny thing is with all the technology, and you use the example of, you know, using chalkboards and things like that back in the day, so to speak, I see the biggest evolution in teaching is really technology facilitates a lot of it, but it's more than that. And what I hope to see as we move forward is more intentional thinking about how we're using technology and more focus on the learning of the students. I think with the dawn of the interactive whiteboard and the one-to-one devices and all of these things that are moving, I think sometimes we've gone a little too all in without really thinking it through. And so what I'm starting to see, and I hope the trend continues, is I'm seeing school districts and teachers back off from the technology a little bit with the purpose of, let's be intentional about it. And so no longer are we saying, all right, this is the new gadget or gizmo, and we're going to buy it for every teacher and every kid. We're going to stop and we're going to think, does this impact, does this move the needle? And so that's a trend I'm starting to see, and I really like that trend, and I hope that trend continues. I think that as we move forward, I think every kid's going to have a device in every school. I think Wi-Fi is just going to be a given. I see video conferencing. I see classrooms with just essentially, you know, metaphorically glass walls. People are seeing in. Classes are going out virtually. And I just see that the boundaries of a traditional school are just going to further erode. And it's going to be a scary time for some, because I still think there are those out there that freak out the notion of a kid having a device in class. I still think there are people that freak out and don't think that social media or a cell phone has any real educational value. And so I see in the future is a lot of that negative attitude towards those devices and towards those types of thinking. I see that eroding, and I see it just being not even a point of conversation. We're not integrating technology anymore. It's just part of what we do. And I just see that that's where we're going, and I'm okay with it as long as we're doing it in a very intentional and thoughtful and logical manner.
Excellent. So if our listeners want to go out and get themselves a copy of the New Teaching Revolution, where can they do that?
Yeah, the New Teacher Revolution, which is the publisher is Corwin. So Corwin Press, you can find it on their website. It's also available on Amazon. Pretty easy to get to. And with a name like Stumpin' Horse, I'm pretty easy to find online. And I'm always happy to connect with anybody interested in looking at teaching and learning in a little bit different light.
Excellent. Well, Josh, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy conference schedule to with me here today. I know you have a lot on your plate with the closing keynote and all, so it's really appreciated.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was great to have the conversation, and always happy to spread the word.
Hey, pleasure was all mine again. And for our listeners, I definitely encourage you all to go out, look up Mr. Stumpin' Horse. He should be easy to find, and get yourself a copy of The New Teaching Revolution. And in the meantime, come back to the Public Sector View Radio. We will have new episodes coming up in the coming weeks.